Good morning. Welcome to Your Health. I'm Ann Goldine, and this week it's all things veteran. My guests are Candy Sollers, who has the contract for mental health services for veterans in Clatsop County.
Correct.
And Ken Rislow, the Clatsop County Veterans Affairs Officer, also Tillamook County, right?
That's correct. For the Veteran Trauma Counselor in Tillamook.
Okay, trauma counselor. All right, so there are a couple things we're going to talk about today. Talking about the family outreach program involved with suicide prevention, the new GI Bill, and
traumatic brain injury.
And there's an upcoming traumatic brain injury conference that people can actually go to. Okay, so let's start with what's happening with this family. It makes so much sense to have a family outreach program.
Well, good morning. Basically, what's happening is both the VA is coming to the perspective, which has been held for some time in the business, that families are involved with their loved ones as far as returning home from the service and the traumas of war. They're both the person and the family are severely affected, and they're making an effort to reach out to individual people who find themselves in a situation where something is going on that they don't understand. Their loved one has been changed by the war, and they don't know to what extent, and they don't know what that means. So they're making, I know we are in Tillamook, and I think Candy's probably doing that too, but in Portland they're making a point of actually making contact with a family and being open to inputs by the family to participate.
Does this only mean if a service member or a veteran comes for mental health services, then the family's contacted? Or is it more broad that anybody returning, for instance, from Afghanistan or Iraq or somewhere?
I think from the aspect of intervention, it's based on anyone who has an interest in a person brings it to the attention of the VA or services available in the community, which there are here. Candy provides such a service. So
how does it work?
Well, when they come in to see me, we talk about the family and whatever their trauma is, how that's affecting the family. And so I do try to incorporate bringing the family and, you know, the wife and the children in mm-hmm. as much as possible. Some veterans don't want to do that. But some veterans will access services because they need marital counseling because the effects of the war are definitely affecting the marriage.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And so then you can actually provide like family counseling?
Correct.
And then that's paid for?
Yes.
Oh, or marital counseling?
Yes.
Oh, that's great.
It's called readjustment counseling.
Oh, God. That has kind of a stigma-sounding thing, like not something people would sign up for.
Well, but they do. They are actually signing up more and more of the Iraq and Afghanistan, but I also treat veterans of Vietnam still.
Uh-huh. Well, it doesn't go away unless you do something about it.
No, and these services were not available when our Vietnam veterans came home.
Right, and so they've been carrying it along all these years. Now maybe they can get some resolution.
Correct.
Well, I think it took a long time for the VA to realize that there was a problem. And now not only the VA has realized that, but the Department of Defense and their services to active duty families, mm-hmm. including the National Guard, cover that. There's a lot of people have permission to seek treatment, which they never had before.
Right.
And the other thing is that for many, all the wars in the past, people came home and they either went in the bedroom and pulled the shades and they sat there for 6 months. and probably either taking a bottle or whatever, a couple of packs, six packs of beer in there with them. And everybody wondered what was going on. I know it's very difficult to approach a person who's been in combat or in a firefight situation and with the expectancy that, how do you approach them? Is it a big event, or are they there to tell you their hero stories, or are they there to let them be quiet? What's the right way to go? And that's what we're trying to do, is give them some direction. And Candy's right with it, using readjustment counseling, because that's really what this is. These are not mentally ill people in the sense of a chronic mental illness. They're people, who everyday normal people, who've been affected by the severe effects of war.
Right, and they're not the same. They've had fears that most people have never had.
Terrors, right, that most people, right, have never,
terror,
had.
Terror, okay, that's right. Even more than fear, yeah.
Yes.
Living 24/7 for, you know, any place between 6 months and 13 months to having a fear for their life, you know, every day for that length of time. And some of these guys and gals are doing 3 tours over there. Or a mix between Iraq and Afghanistan.
Actually, yeah, and there is no end to the number of tours. There are people out there who have done 5 and 6. They just keep going back.
So, but they have to volunteer for that, right?
It's the military. Once you sign the paper, you're in.
Oh, so if they need you,
you go.
You go.
Uh-huh. And regardless of what's happening with you personally, you go. And you stay and you do your job. Whether you're man or woman.
Correct.
Or regardless of who you are. Mm-hmm. You're there to do the job, and that's all that counts.
Now, in terms of numbers, between men and women, what is the mix these days?
I think the VA.
I'm not sure.
The VA looks at it probably about a third.
A third women.
I think this is the first time they face a situation where they've been challenged to provide actual treatment to women. They did. They were initially challenged after the Gulf War, when the percentage of women in the service rose to probably close to 18% to 20%. In this war, it's much higher than that. And the roles of women are much more diverse, and many of them are involved in fear of combat and open death, or actually in combat in the firefight, where the men and women around them are dying. And
is this the first time?
I think it's the first time that people have copped to it. If you talk to the nurses that were at Bataan, Bataan in the Philippines in World War II, or you talk to the people that were in the MASH units in Korea, mm-hmm. it's not the first time women have seen combat. It's the first time anybody's paid attention to them.
Uh-huh.
I know you can look at the big issue with the dedication of the Women's Memorial of part of the Vietnam Memorial, which was specifically to the gallant women who served as nurses in Vietnam. But this time they're there as GIs, as infantrymen.
Right.
So they're having all exactly the same experiences that their counterparts are having.
Yes, very much so.
So they're going to be having all the same health issues, mental health issues, strains on their families.
Right.
That's true. And in many cases, they're multiplied because what I'm experiencing in Tillamook is I'm getting both the husband and wife coming back.
Oh, they're both in the service.
Right. Both in the service, right. both traumatized psychologically from PTSD, right. And also have been exposed to TBI, that's traumatic brain injury, through a massive overpressure from their improvised explosive devices.
Nobody's immune to that.
Right.
Yeah, well, it's becoming a really, brain injuries are becoming a really, people are starting to realize it, and there's a lot more research going on. I mean, even this year in the NFL, they instituted policies, no head-to-head contact, right. And at the beginning of the season, it was rough. They were trying to figure out, how do you get this guy down if you don't give him that good head, you know, thing to the chest? And by the end of the season, they had fewer injuries.
Well, what's difficult is I work with an organization where I go to National Guard points throughout Oregon and help to process soldiers that have just come back from Iraq and Afghanistan. They're usually about 3 months have returned, and these are mandatory that they have to come through. And part of my job as the mental health person is to assess them for needs of services right now. And so I always tell the troops when I first talk to the whole group is that be honest. Tell us if you are having these kinds of problems, nightmares, severe nightmares, flashbacks, driving down the road, and suddenly you're back in Iraq. You're back in that tank. You're hyper alert. All these symptoms.
Mm-hmm. Can't sleep.
Yes, sleep disturbance, irritability, rage attacks.
Headaches.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of these are symptoms of TBI, traumatic brain injury. Mm-hmm. And I don't feel they're screened carefully enough when they come back. But then you have to depend on the soldier to say, I'm having these symptoms.
Mm-hmm. And if they say, I'm fine.
Right.
Most of them don't know those are symptoms, that's just their reality now.
There's another factor involved. Their careers are on the line.
Correct.
And whether, regardless of how many permission DVDs, the Marine Corps issues or the Army issues or DOD issues, their career is materially affected by copying to the fact that you potentially have either PTSD, major depression, or in fact TBI. Because it's really difficult to screen at the subtle levels, which are most noticeable and destructive. It's difficult to screen between TBI and PTSD. The basic signs are the same.
Uh-huh. And so?
So when I first start seeing someone, I screen first for PTSD, and then I screen for TBI every soldier or every veteran.
And now, is that starting to happen nationally?
I think some places are doing it. Mm-hmm. The VA itself does it. But not all private practitioners do that.
Right, because not everybody goes through a VA facility.
Correct.
And then the other problem is the VA is focusing on urban areas. People they're releasing into the bush are released literally into the bush as rabbits into the briar patch. Uh-huh.
They don't have any facilities at all. Well, that's how people feel out here in Tillamook County.
Well, that's why they have people like me. That's why they do these contracts, because the guys don't have to go to Portland to get the care that they need. So they've hired and contracted with rural private practitioners. Mm-hmm. And they only have one in each area. And I see folks from across the river as well. So Pacific County, the Long Beach area, mm-hmm. Grays River, Skamakaway.
Mm-hmm. And the whole peninsula.
Correct.
Well, that's good if people know that. So let's see. Well, this will be a good time. Why don't you give your direct office number, Candy,
okay. So
people could call you if they want to.
They can reach me at 503-325-3623.
Okay. And now what about if somebody says, well, I don't want to talk to a woman about this stuff. Obviously, if they're in Tillamook County, they could talk to you, Ken. But in Clatsop, they don't.
That's never been an issue.
Okay.
I think one of the reasons is something that I share with each of them is that I'm a 42-year dependent of military men and combat veterans. My dad was 22 years in the service, three-war veteran, and my husband 20 years in the service and a Desert Storm veteran. Mm-hmm. So I don't know what it's like to be in combat, but I certainly know what the after effects are.
And people are that like, okay, you're one of us.
Right, right. You've been through the battle.
Uh-huh, yeah, even if it's on the other end of it. All right, let's take a break, and we come back, we'll talk more. You are listening to Your Health, and we're talking about veterans. Well, we're back. You're listening to Your Health. I'm Ann Goldin, and I'm with Candy Sollers, the Clatsop County Mental Health Veterans Affairs provider.
Veterans provider.
Yeah. What readjustment counselor.
Sorry. Yeah. That was a mess. And Ken Rislow, the Clatsop County Veterans Affairs Officer, and the Tillamook Mental Health
Readjustment Counselor.
Readjustment Counselor. Okay. So we were talking about mental health services in rural areas available for veterans, and that in every county there's someone.
Right.
Either it's the Veterans Affairs Officer doing double duty, right, or a private therapist, counselor kind of person doing that.
there's two programs, just to make to clarify, there's two different programs with the VA. The VA Center is the one that I'm contracted with, and there's only one in each county, one in each rural area. Mm-hmm. The other program is the fee-for-service veteran program, and I think there's three of us in this county that treat veterans under that program. So it depends on where they served, how they served. For instance, a man who served in Korea but never saw combat but has some trauma-related issues because of the service will be under the fee-for-service program.
Okay. And then if they just call, then it's easy to
figure. They start either with Ken or they start at the VA medical center.
Okay. Now, I know one of the things that's a barrier for people to getting care is they hate the VA.
Basically,
I mean, I hear it all the time. Patients say, I don't want to go near that place. I feel like I'm a number. It takes months to get in. Not great continuity. Although I have some patients who have really good doctors there, and they feel good about their care, and they feel like I've got somebody that knows me.
Well, I think that both things are true.
Okay.
I think, and usually the latter one is the latter case. They've had experience with the VA. The Vet Center program was initially established in the late 70s to reach out to Vietnam veterans for whom the VA had become, VA Medical Center had become an anathema, hated.
Mm-hmm.
It was a way to get them in and get them the services they needed. Also, it was a way to get through the paper barrier for people who had less than honorable discharges and still get them the services they needed. So that's the purpose behind the Vet Center. To this day, it provides a major element to getting of outreach to people. The fee basis program that Candy was talking about is a major one because that gives people a chance not to have to go into Portland. And there are several good therapists that do that, provide those services within this county and also Tillamook County.
Mm-hmm. Now, but there are also outreach clinics. Right, Camp Rylea has a clinic?
That clinic is part of the VA. Mm-hmm. In other words, there is a community-based outreach clinic there, which is...
Can any veteran go there?
If they meet the eligibility criteria for joining VA healthcare. And that's for any current veterans coming back from the sandbox. They automatically have 5 years of medical care through the VA.
Okay, so an older vet, somebody from Vietnam, would not.
Yes,
be.
They no. There's a difference. The Bush administration, what we're stuck with is the Bush administration put a cap on the enrollment in 2003, which is an income and asset cap, which changes every year.
Oh.
So a person.
You mean the veterans' income?
Veterans' income and veterans' assets, and that includes IRAs. Doesn't include their house, but those are considered. To determine whether we're able to enroll them or not.
Oh, so if they have too much money.
That's right.
Oh, I've seen that. This person couldn't get a ride in the vet van because they had something like $80 more per month than was allowed.
That's true.
True, yeah.
And it's not so much a ride in the van, but actually into the medical center.
Oh, okay.
They can't get in.
Right.
They won't let them in.
Right, you could give them a ride, but then they wouldn't give them services.
Exactly.
Okay.
But that's, yeah. And to, you know,
so they're eligible for the fee for service.
Exactly. No, those people aren't even eligible for the fee for service.
Oh.
And so you have this bizarre thing where you have people you could have career service people 30 years.
And they can't
access the VA because of their
income. Oh, because they had too good of a job?
Yes.
Or maybe not that great of a job, but they...
They had an IRA, which is over 80,000.
Oh, not that they're even accessing it, or maybe they're not even old enough to access
that's
it.
That's right.
Oh, that's horrible. So there are some cracks in the system.
Oh, yes.
Right.
But the people that are coming back now, they have access to lots of things.
Yes.
Right. I mean, it sounds like it's better than it's ever been.
Yes.
I would say that's true.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it takes, I think, work day in and day out to make change the bureaucracy into a human operation.
Okay, and so now part of this family going back to our original conversation about reaching out to families has to do with suicide prevention because the amount of veterans who are committing suicide is astronomical.
It's record at record heights, right.
And these aren't just young people.
No,
they're all the way back to our age.
Yes, right. Senior people in the service.
Right. Yeah, so. What's going on? Why is that happening now? And
well, a lot of it, I think, is emotional pain. Is they have, so let's use the Vietnam vets for an example, combat vets. They swallowed and stuffed down all their emotions for 40 years. And now when the, what triggered things for them is the Iraq war, first Desert Storm, and then the second war, and then 9/11 also triggered a lot of vets.
And triggered meaning it brought out all that fear.
As if it were, a moment ago.
Uh-huh.
Right. And a lot of them, most of them are extremely patriotic, and so a lot of these guys carry weapons. And they, you know, they talk about sometimes, you know, like what would they have done when the congresswoman was shot? What would their reaction have been? And many of them, because that's something we talk about, many of them have said they would have gone after the guy. Mm-hmm. They wouldn't have even hesitated.
And as in with a gun?
Yes.
I think with their bare hands.
I think a lot of people feel that way, that they would have gone. Well, and somebody did.
Right.
Not
right.
With a gun, but physically.
Somebody went after him, right.
Right. And so you think a lot of people would have wanted to just take him out, like beat him up.
Stop it.
Yeah.
Right there. Mm-hmm. And I think that's been true in every incident. I think, going back to an issue, it's really important that people are sensitive to mental health issues simply because the people are hurting and they're not able to address it. They're invisible. We, both Candy and I, deal with people who are terribly scarred, invisibly scarred from the war, just as if they're in. We have, if you go up to the VA Medical Center, you'll see many people, a number of people, who have had catastrophic burns from IED explosions. But we see people that have been catastrophically burned, and those scars are invisible.
Correct.
And they come home, and they're a shadow of who they used to be. And their family's left to adapt with that. And there is no, literally, for both Vietnam veterans, and I think even current people for that matter, it's really difficult for a wife or a spouse to figure out what the devil is going on.
What to do for them.
Exactly.
Right? And so what is the family to do?
Well, one of the things we set up, especially with somebody that has suicidal thoughts, is we set up a safety plan. So this is what is to happen. These are the steps to take.
And so you sitting down with the family?
Right. And the veteran. And deciding.
Of course, that's the person that's willing to talk about it. I mean, if they're willing to talk about it, aren't they less likely to do it?
Not necessarily.
Not necessarily.
Oh, okay.
Not, no. This is not the barking dog theory.
Yeah.
Oh.
No, they still bite you.
That doesn't work. Uh-huh. Right. At times I've had to call to have welfare checks done on a patient because I'm concerned about their health and they're not responding to my phone calls. Like maybe we've set up this safety plan where they're supposed to call in every so often to me.
Uh-huh, like once a week.
Well, maybe more often, like maybe twice a day.
Oh.
Often. And so I'll call the sheriff and ask them to go out and do a welfare check. And sometimes that means that they intervene and they take that person to a hospital.
Uh-huh. So they might see something that they think is not safe.
Right.
Okay.
Right. So,
and are these cutting down the numbers of suicides or successful suicides?
I think it will.
Does. Yeah, I think so.
Suicide prevention does work.
Right.
It's a question of getting it out to enough people to make it work effectively. I know we have people in Tillamook. We really had this couples thing has come out really as a grassroots thing. Spouses want to come and figure out what the hell is going on with their loved ones. I mean, they have been left alone for a long time.
Are there any groups, like veteran support groups?
Well, actually, I have done two different groups, veterans groups. Psychoeducational, learning what PTSD, all the ins and outs of it, and then learning coping techniques. And then, so right now I have a group that we meet once a month. It's kind of a support, it's an ongoing support group. But they meet once a week for coffee.
Just
self-support, right.
I think that could be some of the most powerful tool because they don't want to let down their peers.
Well, I'm just about done with a second group that we did, mm-hmm. and they're going to join. We're going to meld these two groups together. Neat. So they're going to join the first group, mm-hmm. and we will meet then once a month, and they will meet as a group once a week.
That's great. Is there anything like that in Tillamook County?
We do two groups also. Our first is an ARAP group, which is a combination education and symptom management group, and mutual support group, which mm-hmm. meets once a month on the third Wednesday of every month at 7:30 at the Transit Center.
7:30 at night?
At the Tillamook, yes. Everything is at night.
Uh-huh.
The for me, anyway. And that augments individual contact with them.
Mm-hmm.
Also, we have a couples group which meets on every month on the fourth Thursday of the month, and we get to get, that way the couples get together, and that's turn. Both of these things have a life of their own. They become mutually supportive of each other.
Mm-hmm.
We have, I think, the rap group runs between anywhere from 9 to 12 people per month, sometimes more. Mm-hmm. And the couples group runs anywhere from 6 to 14.
Mm-hmm.
Depends on what kind of luck we have that month.
Yeah, now see, my groups run in the morning. So the fellas meet for coffee at 9. And then when I do groups, they start at 10.
Mm-hmm.
So we go from 10 to 11:30.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
so there's a variety of things out there for
that's
people.
That's great. Okay, so right. Let's give out some contact information for people who want to talk to either one of you. Just... Candy, okay. Go first.
503-325-3623.
And Ken?
Okay, two separate things. For the Veterans Service Office, anybody who has a Veterans Affairs question about anything, call my office, which is 866-325-2429. 866-325-2429. And then in Tillamook County, for anyone who has a question about any sort of a veterans counseling issue, readjustment issue, contact me at 888-791-5482. That's 888-791-5482. I think one thing I want to put in here, we're both, Candy and I, are very pressed as far as people are concerned, and there are waits involved, and it's really difficult for people to wait in circumstances like this. But if it's important that they understand if they do wait, they will be seen.
Mm-hmm.
Correct.
Right. Now, there's also a suicide prevention veteran hotline.
From the VA, which is, good question. I'll get that number for you, which is manned every 24 hours a day.
Okay. So that's another resource that's available. Is that in Portland?
Right. That's actually national. It's out of New Hampshire.
Oh, okay. But it doesn't matter. You know, if you call that number, you're going to talk to someone.
And moreover, that's staffed by IAVA, veterans of the Iraq-Afghanistan war. So you have peers talking peers initially.
That's great.
So that's proved highly effective for them. And suicide prevention hotline number is 800-273-8255. It's 800-273-8255. Okay. That's open to anyone who has contact or the veteran himself.
Great. You have been listening to Your Health. This has been All Things Veteran. Ken Rislow, the Clatsop County Veterans Affairs Officer, and Candy Solars, the licensed clinical social worker, but who does veterans
readjustment.
Okay, next week is the first program in March, and Diane and Rob Stockhouse will be here from Puget Island CSA to talk about the annual Food and Farm Summit. And there is the Tillamook County Master Gardener Pruning Day will be Saturday, March 5th, and it's at their demo garden. This program is available as a podcast at coastradio.org.